Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations. By Weka.
Hey there, and welcome back to Clustered Conversations. I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are joined by Barbara and Pruitt. Both of them work in our cloud division, Barbara Murphy and Pruitt Chambliss. Did I say it right?
You said it right.
All right, we'll get there eventually. I'll finally figure out your name one of these days.
We'll just call him BP.
And so we're here talking about cloud. So data platform for cloud, Weka, we've talked about so far, media entertainment and EDA. And today we're talking about cloud. So, you know, I guess the first question is, let's get a little background. Barbara, how long have you been with Weka?
So I joined Weka a little over 6 years ago. I just had my sixth anniversary in the beginning of May. So it's been a really fun journey. I've seen the company grow from total infancy with just myself and Shimon in the office to today. We're packed to the gills and growing faster than I can imagine.
It's been crazy. Wow. And then Pruitt, you're the young one.
Yes. I joined Weka 9 months ago. And prior to Weka, I spent 7.5 years at AWS. Was there during a very formative high growth time, you know, saw the cloud and AWS with them kind of rise to maturity, did a variety of roles in sales, business development, and sales leadership. And, you know, now I lead cloud sales at Weka.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, it's been nice having you on board. It's been fun to have someone leading that charge as well. You and Barbara have done a great job of moving us forward in that world. So I guess one of the questions we ask is why cloud? Why are we interested in cloud as a storage company? Barbara, let's hit you.
Well, I'm interested in it because it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the future where the whole infrastructure is going. If you look at any of the research information from any of the big analysts, such as IDC, Gartner, or Flexera, everybody will show you that there is a very positive trajectory and a very fast growth rate in the cloud. So as a storage and infrastructure vendor, if you're not part of that cloud journey, you're going to be left as a dinosaur back on premises. So for us, I think it's the future.
Cool. So Pruitt, you might want to try this one. So with clouds, I mean, the thing that everyone talks about is they have all these native built functions and native storage and native applications. Why Weka? Why would anybody even choose to run us in the cloud?
Sure. So, you know, taking a slight step back, you know, when I first joined AWS, you know, now 8+ years ago, I think there was something along the lines of like 10 services. You know, it was EC2, S3. You had, you know, kind of basic building block services. And what we've seen over the last, you know, almost a decade now is Amazon, AWS, and other cloud providers continue to move up stack and offer managed services and really take undifferentiated heavy lifting off of customers. So, you know, whether that's managed databases, managed data warehouses, managed file systems. But along with that, we see a very, very rich ecosystem of ISVs building their services and building their solutions on top of Amazon or delivering them as a customer deployed solution in customers and users, Amazon environments and cloud environments in general. And, you know, so saying, you know, why use Weka in the cloud would be like the same thing as saying, you know, why use Snowflake or why use Databricks? You know, today you have a variety of native services from Amazon and other cloud providers, as well as a rich, rich ecosystem of ISVs that provide, you know, about anything that you could imagine from a software standpoint. And so what Weka is able to do and why I think, you know, in general, we see businesses and organizations adopting ISVs on the cloud through the cloud is because, you know, of differentiation. You know, Weka has a singular vision to deliver the highest performance, most feature-rich data platform under the covers as a parallel file system in the market. And so, you know, while Amazon and other cloud providers have a diverse product vision, they have, you know, hundreds of services that they have to manage, we're focused on doing one thing and doing one thing really well. And if you look across the ISV landscape, you see not only customers embracing ISVs that compete with native services from cloud providers, you start to see the cloud providers themselves embracing go-to-market motion with those same ISVs. And in the end, if the ISV, and in this case, Weka, running on the underlying cloud infrastructure, if we win, the cloud provider wins. And so, you know, customers do, and we believe they should choose us on the merits of what we're able to deliver from a performance and ease of use and flexibility and hybrid cloud story that we deliver. And, you know, even within the cloud providers that we work with and, you know, quote unquote, compete with, we see a very cooperative ecosystem where when we win, they win. And when we win, we win.
So, Pruitt, here's maybe an actually interesting question of not just why Weka in the cloud, but why the cloud in general? Like, you look at kind of in general and in sort of older times of how high performance computing and using, you know, anything that would be really considered high performance, that's always been done in, you know, highly specialized environments in data centers that a customer owns. So why would someone want to use the cloud or cloud services?
Sure. So I think to properly unpack this, there's why, you know, understanding the why cloud in general story, and then there's why the cloud for HPC use cases. So, you know, why cloud in general is for, you know, elasticity and speed of scale, you know, ease of experimentation. You can easily instantiate workloads and tear them back down. You can ideate and experiment. You can also perfectly match supply and demand. So pre-cloud, there was no concept of viral success. You could only scale your business, and especially if your business was a technology-oriented business, you could only scale it as quickly as you could scale your infrastructure. So, you know, as we see the concept of viral success, you know, I'll use DraftKings as an example. You know, they saw an you know, exponential amount of compute need on a Sunday morning right before kickoff, compared to what they were seeing on a, you know, a Wednesday afternoon with no games going. You know, without the cloud, DraftKings, there's no way they would have been able to scale and meet customer demand in a cost-effective way and have the type of success that they saw. So, you know, that's kind of the general why cloud. Now, if you translate that into why cloud for HPC, HPC has long been considered kind of one of the last bastions for on-prem. There were certain workloads that, you know, were largely considered not meant for the cloud. And you had practitioners in this space that were the, you know, the people putting up the stiff arm for cloud workloads and cloud sales teams. And so, you know, what we're seeing today is a fundamental shift related to these types of workloads. You know, we're seeing GPUs in the cloud. We're seeing, you know, the power of parallel computing, and those capabilities are increasing significantly. And so you're seeing some of these, what I would call last bastion workloads and these HPC workloads start to have a chance to operate in the cloud. And fortunately enough, Weka operates kind of at the intersection of this paradigm shift. And we're able to deliver through the power of parallelism, performance across a variety of parallels that previously just wasn't available in the cloud. And so we're now changing the conversations relative to some of these HPC use cases that were long considered not meant for the cloud.
So Barb, I know that our development has been, I mean, from a startup, right? You don't have necessarily a whole bunch of, you know, racks of servers sitting around just waiting for people to develop on. That's infrastructure that's expensive. So I know that we have actually been developed in the cloud. Can you kind of go into where and why and how that decision was made?
Well, for the exact reasons that Pruitt has talked about, you know, when you're a startup and resources are scarce and cash is scarce, building out a lab to be able to build a product like Weka and test and validate and regression test a product like Weka at scale would have been cost prohibitive. I mean, the CapEx investment to be able to build out that lab would have never got Weka off the ground. So for us, while the cloud is what we're building for, it also was the enabler to allow us to build the product we built. So, you know, we can run regression tests for 3 days and then shut it down. We can avail of things like spot instances and write our DevOps to be able to take care of that. So we ourselves are both a product of building something for the cloud and also a classic example of somebody who's using, who's getting the best out of what the cloud offers, allowing us to scale. And obviously over time, it's interesting because we have had to build an on-prem lab as well. So we can test things like what it feels like an on-prem customer. But essentially the company and our IP was born in the cloud, which also in some ways, if you look at the things that that really differentiate Weka, we're used to working in a completely virtualized environment. We didn't have to take a product that was built to run on an appliance and then try and virtualize it to run in the cloud. It's actually the other way around. So from that perspective, that's why it's so seamless and easy for us to be able to leverage things like cloud resources, be able to leverage things like S3. And we actually, even our engineering team, they looked at the things that were available in AWS and said, hey, you know what? You can do auto-scaling. Why can't we do auto-scaling? Let's do auto-scaling. So we're doing auto-scaling because it's already there. We're tiering to S3 because it was already there. And all these things were kind of part of what we could do because of the fact that we have this, you know, as Pruitt put it, infinite resources that are available to us to begin with.
So we have start.weka.io, which is a CloudFormation template for AWS today, which is kind of nice. It's a simple way to get started. And then we have our auto-scaling stuff that's linked to out of our documentation so people get that running. It makes it really easy for customers to get started with Weka. What other clouds are we looking at? I know a couple of that I've tested in. Where are we at today with some of our cloud integration? Where we're going with that, Barbara?
So I think it was recently made publicly available that we now are on the Oracle Cloud OCI, and so that's off and to the races, and we're actually already seeing very good engagement and traction on OCI. Which, if you look at the OCI as a cloud, you know, they're small, but I think they're really nimble, and they've done a very smart thing, which is they focused on particular areas where they can be a center of excellence. And right now, that key area that they're focused on is AI and GPU accelerated compute. That's a perfect marriage with Weka. And so Weka is your file system of choice running on OCI for your, you know, high performance and accelerated compute AI workloads. So I really like the way they've approached the cloud because it's you know, they're focused and they're going after the same customers as we are. Obviously, as we look towards the future, you know, for us, it's important that we have a multi-cloud strategy. And so that's something that we're actively engaged in from a company perspective. But at this point, I'll say stay tuned for the next podcast to find out more.
Sweet. I know Josh did a lot of work with some folks at Oracle, and there was a nice blog post that came out that showed Josh's favorite number, which is 2 terabytes a second of throughput.
My favorite number is 2. This is true.
It's a good number.
I don't have to count too high. It's great.
And by the way,
I don't have to change the toes either.
That's nothing to sniff at. You know, we're looking at super computing centers that would kill to be able to present a number like that. And I think if I was correct, this was only running on a few hundred instances. It wasn't like it was a massive, you know, lab that stretched for racks and racks of equipment.
Yeah. More importantly, those systems only had a single SSD each in them. So they actually weren't even fully utilizing their 100 gig connectivity that they had. They were only doing 5 or 6 gigabyte per second. So maybe half of what they potentially could have done if they had a second NVMe in them.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a great test. I mean, Josh was giddy when he got to that number.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty cool. Like,
and for anyone non-technical listening, you know, where 2 terabytes per second of throughput, you know, might not be contextual, I've been told by my colleagues, Bob and Josh, that this is insanely fast. I can tell you that an internal technical Slack channel was extremely, extremely excited about this. This should be considered, a pretty high bar from a throughput standpoint, from a performance standpoint.
Cool. So, going forward, and maybe you can answer this, Pruitt, or maybe Barbara, one of you guys, what are our plans for new instances? How do we keep up with the changing landscape of the cloud? Like in Amazon, they're releasing new instances right now. What are and as we go to other guys, like I know that the other cloud providers, they rotate instances every 4 to 6 months. What is our plan to stay as current as possible with those things?
Well, that's just part of the ongoing process for keeping, you know, keeping the most up-to-date, best cost, best economic instances around. So, for example, the new i4 instances, in fact, we just this week got, you know, update that we have i4 bare metal. So we just keep in very tight lockstep with our partners in the partner marketing side and places like AWS to ensure that when they're delivering new instance types that we've tested and validated them and are ready to go as soon as they come out. So that's kind of just part of the normal, I would say, engineering and QA process that we run.
And the great thing about it is, generally speaking, as new instances come out, they're better than the old instances. So they're better from a performance standpoint. They're better from a pricing standpoint. So by adopting, you know, new infrastructure that's available, you know, as quickly as possible, it actually enables us to improve our value proposition to customers. So this is, you know, new infrastructure and new technology being released by cloud providers is a key way for us to increase our value to our customers.
Cool.
So let me change gears just a little bit. Barb, where are you seeing like really a lot of uptake of movement into the cloud or maybe new markets being developed inside the cloud that are like using Weka or just something? What's interesting right now?
So first of all, you know, COVID and the cloud are they're probably the one thing that I can say that COVID was positive for was the acceleration of workloads to the cloud. But I think one of the most interesting trends that I've seen, which by the way, it's not a vertical Weka focused on. We didn't put any effort into it. People found Weka in the cloud, and that is around media and entertainment. And I know you guys have done a podcast on that, but it's such a great fit because, you know, you have these small studios. They can win a really nice post-production contract with one of the big houses like a Netflix or somebody. And they can work on that project for 3-4 weeks or a month or 2 months and shut it down and they're done. So it's given complete agility to the post-production market and made it completely independent. Everybody, you know, you and your brother can now start their own post-production house as long as you're creative cats. The infrastructure is there and you only have to pay for it on an OPEX basis based on the jobs that you've already won. So you can bid for the job and then afterwards you can turn around and you know, if you win it, you can run it. And if you don't win it, you're no worse out of pocket. But the other big area that we're seeing a huge transition is in the life sciences space around genomics. Again, I think it's the availability of on-demand compute resources as you're running these, you know, huge G80K pipelines or stuff like that. It's just a really good fit because your data is, you know, can be stored in S3. You can spin up a very large cluster. You can spin up a small cluster. You can shut down the clusters when you don't want to do them. So it works really well in terms of the life cycle of both genomics and M&E. And I think last but not least, I know you also talked about EDA. That's also a very nice complementary workload that fits well within the cloud. Where I think, you know, it's always harder is if you have a massive HPC environment that's working 24/7, 365, all around the clock, you know, it's probably likely that your on-premises solution will be, you know, perfectly adequate for that and possibly even more cost-effective than the cloud. But when it comes to bursty and I would say project-based work, that's where it really suits it well.
Cool. I know that we are our own first customer in the cloud because we do a lot of our development there. And also as SEs, we use Jenkins to do rollouts of environments for our guys to test and do demos on. And we've got some other Ansible scripts built around the whole thing. You know, I'm trying to get where I'm going with this, but basically how are we as a company, you know, are we suited to help customers in this cloud journey to help them develop workloads and develop, you know, workflows to help them get started in cloud? Is that something we've been working on, collaterals or services through our PS department?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first thing about Weka is if you think about the Weka data platform, the first thing that makes it truly game changing is the fact that it's the day you buy Weka on prem, you've already started the ability to have your journey to the cloud, because our ability to be able to attach a bucket that could be in AWS from an on premises cluster and tiering data, you know, to that S3 bucket and snapshotting to the object store and being able to respin that up in the cloud, you're from day one, you're already ready. And you know, that's been like one of the things when I talk to IT teams, that's one of the things they really like is the fact that they're not having to, it's not an either or with Weka. You really get that, you know, I think we're going to do some stuff in the cloud, but I'm not sure yet. Then that's great, because the day you decide to do it, you've already got all the tools and there's not a bit of software difference between what you run on prem and on the cloud. It's exactly the same. Every last bit is exactly the same.
I think we might have talked about this before, Josh, but you know, snap to object is what pops to mind, right? The ability to take that on-site data that's sitting there and snap it up to an object store, sits up there. And then you can go ahead and point another Weka cluster that's running in the cloud directly and start bursting to it. So that's a quick way to get things working. And then we also, when we're in the cloud and even on site, you can tier to an object store, in this case, S3 or one of the other guys' object stores, and be able to expand the file system and take advantage of all that capacity that's available out there through S3. So you're not just bound by the NVMe tier. You can do a better cost modeling by having the lower cost tier of S3 on the back end.
And perhaps even more interesting to that, you know, having that cost modeling and being able to do that sort of blended economics is great, you know, fantastic way to kind of bring down the total cost of ownership. But being able to have that hybrid model of having your on-prem solution being able to burst into the cloud, and realistically any cloud or maybe another data center or a partner data center or something else, to be able to foster that journey to bring your data to where the compute is and still have extremely high performance at data access to that data. That's, I think, really, really interesting to be able to break that data gravity, to use an old euphemism, and take it to wherever it needs to be.
Yeah, we've had some discussions recently with universities and researchers who are doing work around the world. I mean, they have people in almost every university in the United States and also through South America and Europe, and they collect data and want to be able to centrally locate it, but be able to remotely access it and be able to do work on it. So each one has different grants and different kind of theories that they want to test, but they want to be able to use the same pool of data. So we're trying to figure out how to use Weka and S3 and all these different pieces to be able to give them that local access, but have a central repository to manage it all. So, you know, I think the cloud is the only way you can do that. There's no other real way to be able to get the world together in one place and one computing infrastructure. So cool.
Certainly a challenge.
How about anything else you guys want to talk about? Prude, is there anything else, you know, that you can think of in the cloud that we missed?
Yeah, well, not necessarily that we missed, but just expanding on the previous topic. And, you know, I spent the better part of a decade at AWS, you know, kind of developing an understanding that, you know, words like hybrid and burst were four-letter words, and that, you know, the future was all cloud all the time. And that if, you know, if you felt like the cloud was too expensive or wasn't delivering what you needed, it was a function of architecture rather than reality, or misnomer rather than reality. And, you know, in the time that I've been at Weka, I think that, you know, there, as it relates to hybrid cloud, we're seeing and hearing from customers that there are certain types of workloads where, you know, truly hybrid is a long-term vision, and you know, the ability to have a hybrid architecture and be able to burst into the cloud for elasticity is something that's, you know, these are concepts that are probably going to be around for a while. And, you know, in particular, we see, you know, I see a long-term need for hybrid in the life science space. You know, you have devices that live and exist on-prem. This might be a genomic sequencer. It might be a cryomicroscope. It might be an X-ray machine. And these devices are generating data. And due to uncontrollable factors, you could potentially, in an all-cloud architecture, have these devices lose access to the cloud. And so for risk mitigation purposes, you need to have the ability to offload the data from these devices on-premises. And some level of work, short, medium, and long-term, might be done on-premise. But then there's the ability for that data to be moved into the cloud for, you know, computing and analysis at massive scale. And so what we're seeing is these hybrid workflows that WEC is enabling for cryomicroscopy and genomics research and X-ray data, you know, any data that's being generated on-prem, and allowing these organizations to really effectively make use of the cloud. So that's, you know, in a sense, that's kind of like my view on the long-term related to hybrid cloud. And then as it relates to any customer's journey to the cloud, the good news is Weka can meet you wherever you are. So if you haven't, if you're, you know, you were born in the cloud, you're completely in the cloud, everything you do is cloud native. You know, we see customers that see value in Weka as a means to reduce time to insights and outcomes, you know, to take advantage of elasticity and use less compute infrastructure for the same thing and save money. You know, for customers that want to move workloads to the cloud more quickly, we can enable them to, you know, operate more effectively in a hybrid modality and get data into the cloud and make it usable more quickly. So, you know, this notion that one, the future landscape is, you know, going to look like a lot of different things relative to all in the cloud and hybrid and on-prem. And we can support all of those workflows. And then also that, you know, there are going to be certain modalities that hybrid truly is a long-term vision. And we help accommodate that in a pretty elegant way.
So I guess to paraphrase a meme, you know, get in users, we're going clouding.
Going clouding.
All right, Barbara, how about you? Anything else we missed?
Well, you know, I think it's a whole another podcast and I'm going to recommend it, but we didn't even get to talk about the value of containers vis-a-vis what that means for the cloud. I know we're running out of time, but I think that in itself is an entire interesting topic. And again, perfect marry between WECA and the cloud. So that's something that we should talk about more as well.
All right. Next time we'll hit more containering.
Yep. Containerizing.
Containering in the cloud.
Containering in the cloud.
Containerating.
Just don't be cantankerous. All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining us again. Another great clustered conversation. So thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Pruitt, for joining us. And I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for listening.